Hello, we're back.
Hey everyone.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm actually back. Finally. I was out.
How's
actually went. It was nice. You know, I met some customers. I did the, you know, the community days in Italy. It was fun.
Oh, excellent.
Everybody talks about soccer in Italy. It was fun.
So, happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
Yes,
we didn't release anything in March because we are giving you guys two episodes April.
That's good.
So you guys can look forward
to that.
But
is this a real episode or is it just a fool's episode?
That's a real episode. So,
okay.
So we talked to Mike Fisher, who works over in Azure. And,
is he native?
Let's get right
what
into
is
it.
Going to show
so,
you?
Yeah, the big thing about it is that he's got a demo completely written in native in the C++
Great, let's go, let's do it.
Hi everyone, this is Gabriel Ha with Channel 9 GUI Native. I'm here with Mike Fisher, and Mike, just tell us a little bit about what we're going to see today.
Hi, I'm a developer on the Microsoft Azure Storage team.
Very cool.
Our team provides services for cloud storage that is highly highly durable, highly available, and highly scalable.
Okay.
Three abstractions that Azure Storage provides are blobs, tables, and queues. Blobs are for storing files and metadata. Tables are used for scalable, no SQL solutions for storing structured data. And queues are for reliable, asynchronous messaging.
I see.
We provide a REST API for accessing our services, and our team has been working on a native client library, which we wrote in C++, also for accessing our same services. This allows developers to build native applications quickly and more reliably. It is currently in preview, and it's available as a NuGet package and also for download from GitHub.
Oh, very cool.
And I have a demo to show you that demonstrates using tables and queues using our client library.
All right, well, let's get right to it.
Okay, first, before I start the demo, let's just show how to get the NuGet package installed. So if we create a new project, and I'll just create a empty console application that is that has all the default settings, and there's nothing here. So to get the NuGet package, we go to first the Package Manager console, and that is under Other Windows, and then we can use the Install Package command. Our package is called WA Storage, which stands for Windows Azure Storage. And this is a preview version of our client library. So I'll specify that we're interested in a preview version here.
Okay.
So that will download and install our package as well as our dependencies into this project. Okay, and there it's done. So that's how you get started. I'll switch over to a demo project that I already installed the package in and wrote some code. So the first thing to notice is the headers that you need to include to use our client library. We're going to use a storage account class, so I'm including the storage account header. And all our header files are in the WAS folder, which stands for Windows Azure Storage.
Okay.
We'll also be using tables and queues, so I included those two headers as well. So the first thing we need to do is create a cloud storage account, which takes in our credentials, including our account name and account key. And then to use tables, we need to create a cloud table client object. And we get that just by calling the create cloud table client function on the storage account. And then we need to get a reference to the table. In this case, the table's name is called blog posts.
I see that.
And we create the table if it doesn't exist. And then very similar with the queue, we create the queue client and then a reference to the queue. In this case, the queue is called blog processing, and we again create that if it doesn't already exist.
Okay.
So this application is going to demonstrate a program that creates blog posts, and then I have a second application that's going to run in the background and process those blog posts as they come in.
Okay.
So this application will read the name of a blog post off the console and use that to create a few of those in our table storage. We'll use a batch operation so that we can create a few blogs in a single request. In this case, we're going to create three copies of each blog post in this batch operation. And for each of those, we need to have a partition key and a row key. Every entity in the table needs to have a unique partition key and row key combination. And normally you'd want to use different partition keys to make your data more scalable.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'll just use one partition, and then I'll generate the row key based on the name of the blog post and a number appended to that.
So which blog are you posting to, or is this just some sort of generic blog?
It's just a demo.
Just a demo, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Not a real blog.
Gotcha. All right, go ahead.
So we create a table entity, include a few properties in there, like a random post ID, some content, and the date it was posted. Put all that into our batch operation, and then we'll execute that operation against our table. And when that's done, we'll print out the status of each of the operations within the batch operation.
Okay.
And then secondly, we'll also put something into the queue. So we have our queue object, and we'll call the addMessage async function on there to add a new message into the queue. And we'll specify that queue message has a time to live. That's how long that message will last in the queue if no one ever picks it up. And then also an initial visibility timeout, which will give a random amount of time up to 30 seconds. And we'll see in the background processor how that particular piece of the message plays into this. So both of those will execute in the background in parallel, and then we'll just wait on those to finish and then loop back to the top to get the next blog post. So if I run that application, I'll enter the names of a few blog posts here, and we see the status that they were inserted with the successful status code.
Okay.
Now I'm going to switch to the code for the second application. And going through this code, the start of the code is pretty much the same. We're using the same headers. We have the same storage account and table and queue.
Yeah, see that.
And it has a loop that's going to initially look for any new message in that queue. If it picks up a message that's not empty, then it's going to figure out the partition key and a range of row keys to look for the blog posts associated with that queue message. Then it does a table query to get all those table entities, and it loops through those to simulate processing them, and it's just going to print out the post ID and the content of that. And then the last step is it's going to delete that message so that no other processing will pick up that message anymore. If this code were to fail halfway through, that message will eventually become visible again, and then it could be retried to process a second or third time as needed. So I'll run that application as well, and it's just going to sit there looking for new blog posts. And we can see that it picked up those three that we already inserted.
All right.
And something to notice is that the order that those are processed is not the same as the order that we inserted them.
All right, I see that.
And that's because of the initial visibility timeout that we specified. That some of those were configured to stay hidden within the queue for a longer amount of time. And if we go ahead and insert a few more blog posts, you can see there's some delay before they become visible in the queue, and eventually they will be visible and they start to get processed.
Okay, cool.
And in fact, the last one I inserted, called F, was processed first, and then E came in next, and then D, because they had different visibility timeouts. Normally you wouldn't want to insert duplicate content like
right.
that, but
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
to demonstrate how to use a batch operation, which can provide a lot of efficiency because you're making just one request to the server,
mm-hmm.
and you're only paying for the bandwidth and cost of that one request.
Okay,
and you can
cool.
do up to 100 operations at once. That's one of the many benefits,
okay.
one of the features that makes the service more scalable and more cost effective.
Very nice. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that covers it.
All right, cool. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your time. This is Gabriel with Going Native, and we'll see you later.
My pleasure. Thank you, Gabriel.
Bye.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked the demo. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. What did you like about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like a few things. You know, I like, you know, it started showing the NuGet package, and I don't know if you noticed, it's kind of small charts, but the NuGet, when it brings down the dependency, brings down, of course, CPP REST SDK, that is Casablanca, that is our library that is used to actually talk to services, and that brings down also use PPLX. So if you see in the code, it actually is using, you know, REST SDK, but it's also using, you know, async,
mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty neat. I like that, you know, the integration with the package. So I definitely want to ask feedback about, you know, NuGet.
Yeah.
We are seeing more people posting little, small, bigger things in NuGet for C++. So let us know about that. And, you know, use this one. You know, it seems pretty cool. Yeah. I personally, there's one thing I don't like. The strings, always. I don't like the things between Unix and Windows. I'd love to hear if you have a good solution.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and you know, please feel free to leave comments in the comments below if you guys want to see stuff. Shout out to Nico159 for his suggestion from the last video on ways to take advantage of the final keyword.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
And so we will be sure to do that in a future episode, so you can look forward to that. And again, for any of you guys out there, if you want to see us do particular content, just let us know.
Bye-bye.
Bye.